B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Erevin Daf Chof Dalet. We're going to start 10 lines from the bottom of Daf Chof Gimel, Omud Beis. Says the Gemara. The Gemara starts with a braisa. Karpeif, which is typically an enclosed area, a relatively large enclosed area. Shehu yoyser mi beis sosaim, which has an area larger than 5,000 square amos. Shehukaf ledira, but when the walls were put round it, it was put round with the intentions of serving a residential purpose. He was going to use this karpeif to be there the whole time and to use it for his own personal needs. Then in that case, nizra ruboy, if you had this karpeif, which was very big, and he planted, even though he surrounded the area for residential purposes, it was mukaf ladira, but at some point he decided to plant in most of the karpeif. Harei hu kegino v'osur. Since a person does not use an area that he planted in, and this is talking about planting anything other than trees. We'll soon see if a person plants trees, then having trees is used for shade, and it becomes part of his personal use of his garden. Of this, and this karpeif will remain mukaf ladira. However, if he planted anything besides for trees in it, then the area that's planted is no longer used ladira for residential purposes. And since most of this area is now nizra ruboy, is now not anymore residentially used, therefore he's not allowed to carry in the whole karpeif. Not a ruboy. If, however, he didn't plant vegetables and other things, he planted trees, then harehu kechotzer, it's still considered mukaf ladira, and the entire area has the halachas of a chotzer, and he's allowed to carry in the entire area. Says the Gemara. And before we start the Gemara, it would feel a little bit complicated, but let's make a short introduction, and Emir Hashem, it'll be straight sailing. The braisa we just mentioned has two halachas. One is, first and foremost, we have to remember we're talking here about a karpeif where the entire area is more than a beis sosaim, more than 5,000 square amos. That's the entire karpeif. Now this karpeif, if you're going to use the entire area, it's mukaf ladira, it has all the halachas of Rashus Hayochid, even midrabonon, and you can carry there. And this follows most of the Tanoim we've learned till now, that even if it's more than a beis sosaim, if it's mukaf ladira, one's allowed to carry there. But the Brais here is talking about if most of this karpif, most of this enclosed area, was used for one thing and a minority for something else. So the Brais first says, if most of it was a nizra ruboy. It means, again, if you planted trees, then the trees is not a contradiction to mukaf ladira, and we just assume that the whole thing is still mukaf ladira, there's no issue, it's muta. That's not the discussion. The discussion is the first part of the braisa. The braisa says if nizra ruboy, if you planted things there other than trees, then if nizra ruboy, if most of the area was planted, so most of the area is now no longer used for residential purposes, then it's also to carry there. We can deduce from there that if it's nizra mi'utai, the halacha would be different. Because the braisa says it's only if nizra ruboy, if most of the area has got plantation in. But if a minority of the area has plantation in, it would seem that it's muta. That means whatever case the nizra ruboy osur, the nizra mi'utai will be mutar. That's one thing we have to understand. Another thing we have to understand, that this nizra ruboy or nizra mi'utai, see, we don't know how large this entire area is. We just know that it's larger, the whole area is larger than a beis sosaim. When it says nizra ruboy, most of it was planted, how large is this most of it? And then when we deduce from there that nizra mi'utoi is going to be mutar, then how large is that? So there's three options. There's either that the part itself that was Nizra is either less than a Beis HaSayim, less than 5,000 square amis, or it's exactly 5,000 square amis, which is called Beis HaSayim, or it's more than 5,000 square amis, that's Yoser mi Beis HaSayim. And we have to understand, when it says Nizra Ruboy, most of the area of this Karpif was Nizra, are we saying that Nizra Ruboy Osur, but Nizra Mi'utoy Mutar, is talking about when the part that was Nizra, Nizra Ruboy, is less than a Beis HaSayim? And then if the Nizra part is less than a Beis HaSayim, then Nizra Mi'utoy, if that's going to be a Mi'ut, it will be Mutar. Or is it talking about that the Nizra Ruboy was a Beis HaSayim, or the Nizra Ruboy was more than Beis HaSayim? That's what we're going to have to discuss, and we're going to actually have three opinions as to how to learn this, and we're going to see the differences as we go through the sugya. So let's see the sugya inside. The Gemara starts Nizra Ruboy. We're going to start with what the Braisa actually says explicitly. If most of the area was planted not with trees, was Nizra Ruboy, then it's Osir. Omer Rav Huna B'Rei de Rav Yeshua. The first version of Rav Huna B'Rei de Rav Yeshua is Lo Omron Elo Yoser Mibeis HaSayim. It's talking about them, is the Braisa is talking about that if the planted part was more than Beis HaSayim, in that case, it's going to be Asa. And then we would deduce from here that even if the planted part was more than Beis HaSayim, if it was just a minority of the field, it would be Mutar, because it says Nizra Ruboy. If Nizra Mi'utoy, and the part that was Nizra was more than Beis HaSayim, it's going to be Mutar. Why? What would explain these halachas? That you see what the roiv is. If most of the area is Nizra Ruboy, most of the area is not Ladira, then we assume the whole thing is not Ladira, therefore it's Asar. If most of the area is, if Nizra Mi'utoy, that means most of the area still being used as a regular chotza is Mukaf Ladira, then we look at the whole area as Mukaf Ladira, and it's Mutar. But, and then what would we deduce from there? That the only reason, if most of the area is planted is Osir, is because the most is Yoisem Beis HaSayim. Aval Beis HaSayim, but if the area that's planted was not more than Beis HaSayim, was just Beis HaSayim, Mutar. And the Gemara is soon going to ask, what's the difference if it's more than Beis HaSayim or less than Beis HaSayim? If you say that Roiv, that the majority is what dictates whether it's Mukaf Ladira or not, then since it's Nizra Ruboy, even if it's just a Beis HaSayim, it should have the same halachas that it should be called not Mukaf Ladira. The Gemara is going to discuss that soon. But at this point, Rav Huna B'Rei de Rav Yeshua says, Loi Omron, the Isser that it says in this Braisa, that if Nizra Ruboy is Osur, is only talking about Yoisami Beis HaSayim. Aval Beis HaSayim, Mutar. Who would that be going according to? Kaman, Kereb Shimon, Ditnan. We're going to be discussing now a few times in the next few lines a Mishnah in later on in the Masechta, a Machleikus, Reb Shimon, and the Rabbonon. There's a Machleikus, if you have a Chotzer, and you have a Karpeif, which was Mukaf Ladira, then is it called a similar Rishus, or is it called a different Rishus? Min HaTorah, they're both Rishus Hayochids. Are you allowed to carry from one type of Rishus Hayochid to another type of Rishus Hayochid? Reb Shimon says it's all called a single Rishus, and you can carry from one to the other. The Chachomim say no. Say Chotza is one thing, Karpif is something else, Gagois is something else. It all depends what this area, how it's defined, and therefore according to the Rabbanon, you're not allowed to carry from a Chotzer to a Karpeif, even though both of them have the halachas of Rishus HaYochid. Even though you can carry within the Chotzer, and you can carry within the Karpeif, if it's Mukaf Ladira, but to carry from a Chotzer to a Karpeif, that you're not allowed to do. According to Reb Shimon, you are allowed to. So the Gemara says here, if you have Yoisem Beis HaSayim, then Yoisem Beis HaSayim is called a Karmelis, if it's not Mukaf Ladira. Which means if Nizra Ruboy, which means that the part that's not ladira, the part of this overall karpif which you've planted in, which you cannot use for residential uses, if that is more than beis asayim, then that area is no longer got the status of a rishus hayochid, it's got the status of a karmelis. And then even Rav Shimon agrees to carry from the karmelis part to the part which is a rishus hayochid part, which is the mi'utai, the part of this enclosure which is still being able to be used for residential purposes, you're not allowed to carry from a karmelis to a rishus hayochid. However, if it's not larger than a beis asayim, if it's just a beis asayim, then it's not got the halachas of a karmelis. Karmelis is only ever from more than beis asayim in this context, since it's got a wall around it. And therefore, you've got a karpeif, which has the halachas of Rosh Hashayochid. It's got an area of a karpeif. It's the part of this karpeif which you cannot use for residential uses. It's planted. Is exactly beis asayim. So it's called a karpeif, even though it's a Rosh Hashayochid, and the rest of the area is considered like a chotzer. Are you allowed to carry from a karpeif to a chotzer? It must be that we're following Rav Shimon. If Rav Huna Breda Yeshua says that if the area which is planted is like a beis asayim and mutter, and you're allowed to carry in the whole area, it must be like Rav Shimon. Because according to the Rabbanon, you're not allowed to carry from a chotzer to a karpeif, or from a karpeif to a chotzer. And even though if you had a karpeif and a chotzer adjacent to each other, with a wall in between and a doorway, then you're still not allowed to carry from one to the other, but you can carry in each independently. However, here, where it's totally open, the part that's been planted and the part that's not been planted is all in one enclosure, so it's like a chotzer which is totally breached open to an area that you're not allowed to carry in, because you're not allowed to carry from a chotzer to a karpeif and from a karpeif to a chotzer. So according to the Rabbanon, that you cannot carry from one to the other, you then cannot carry within either, even independently, because each one is open to an area you cannot carry into. And over here it says that if the area that's planted based on Saim is mutter, it must be following Rav Shimon. Titnan, Rav Shimon noimir, echot gagois, echot chatzeirois, echot karpifiois, rishus echot hein, rechotza and the karpif, and the gagois, the roofs, these enclosures and chatzeirois, they are all considered a single rishus, lekelim sheshov subatoichon, regarding the kelim that were in the chotzer or on the roof or in the karpeif when Shabbos came in. And there's a side detail which we're not going into now, veloy lekelim sheshov subatoich habayis, regarding the kelim that were in the homes themselves, even though you can take it from the homes to the chotzer, or from a home into the karpeif, you cannot take it from the home to the chotzer and then from the chotzer to the karpeif. There, that Rav Shimon will agree, you're not allowed to do that. But within the chotzer, within the karpeif, it's called one rishus, and you can carry from one to the other. Now the Gemara is asking, okay, it's very good that according to Rav Shimon, the two parts do not asser each other, because it's called one rishus, and the beis asayim which is planted, and the rest of the area which is not planted, they do not asser each other, because it's called one rishus. Okay, but let's remember, if the most area, if Nizra Ruboy is more than Beis Hosayim, then we say that it's all Osir. Why is it all Osir? Because you see what's the Roiv. Since most of the enclosure is planted, then we say that the whole heck of the whole enclosure is not anymore Mukaf Ladira. The same should apply here. And we used Roiv, even Lekula, because we said that it's only if Nizra Ruboy is its Asa. If Nizra Mi'utoy, if the Mi'ut is Nizra, even if it's Yosem Beis Asayim, if it's Nizra Mi'utoy, then you're allowed to carry in the whole area, because the Braisa only said Nizra Ruboy is Asa. And we're now saying Nizra Ruboy is Asa is when it's planted Yosem Beis Asayim. So if Nizra Mi'utoy, and it's Yosem Beis Asayim, it's Mutar. Why? Because if Nizra Mi'utoy, then most of the area is residentially being enclosed for Ladira, for residential purposes. So you see that you use Roiv, even Lekula. If so, asks the Gemara, if the Roiv is planted, even if it's not more than a base asayim, it's just a base asayim, the same halacha should apply. Use roiv and say that it's asa. L'Rav Shimon Nami, kiven d'nizra ruboi, hava hahu mi'uta botile legabe ruba. We should say that the mi'ut is bottled to the roiv. V'hava le'karpif, yoysa mi'base asayim. And if you say that you look at the whole area as being enclosed for the purpose of what roiv is, and roiv is nizra, which is not ledira, then it's that we look at the whole area, and we said before that the whole area is more than a beis asayim, then it's more than a beis asayim, which is not mukaf ledira, and even according to Reb Shimon, v'asar, it should be asar. So how can you, Rav Huna Brei Rabbi Yeshua, say that when the Braisa says nizra ruboi is asar, and you're deducing from there that's only if the nizra part is more than beis asayim, but if the nizra part is less than base, that if the nizra part is base asayim, it's mutar, why should that be true? Eloi it, marhochi it, we're going to change what Rav Huna Brei Rabbi Yeshua said. What did Rav Huna Brei Rabbi Yeshua say? He's going to now read into the Braisa what we said right from the beginning, what we're deducing from the Braisa. The Braisa says nizra ruboi is osur. And we deduce from there that in whatever case, however large the nizra part of the nizra ruboi is, if that part is the mi'ut of the whole area, then it's going to be mutar. Mi'uta shori. When is that talking about? This is where Rav Huna Brei Rabbi Yeshua comes in. Rav Huna Brei Rabbi Yeshua is not talking about a case where it's nizra ruboi. He's talking about where it's nizra mi'utoi. Mi'utoi is mutar. What case is nizra mi'utoi mutar? Omar Rav Huna Brei Rabbi Yeshua, loy omron elo de loy have a beis asayim. He's talking about where the area that is planted, which is the minority of the entire area, but that minority part which is planted is less than a beis asayim. And what do we do? And then in that case, nizra mi'utoi will be mutar. If nizra ruboi, it will be asa, because you always go see with the roiv. If roiv is nizra, even if the nizra part is less than beis asayim, it's also going to be asa, because it's the roiv. If nizra mi'utoi, it's only the minority, it's muta, provided that the area that is nizra is less than a beis asayim. And we can deduce from there that if aval beis asayim, that even if it's the minority of the whole area, but if that minority area which is planted is a beis asayim, in that case, asur. There it will be asur. Why is it asur? Because since this area is beis asayim, and it's not mukaf ladira, it's not used ladira, we should say. If it's not used ladira, then since normally what we say is that the mi'ut, we look at the roiv, and the mi'ut, the minority, is bottled to the roiv. That's only true if the minority is not something very substantial and significant. If the minority itself is very significant, it will not become bottled. So if the minority, nizra mi'utoi, is less than a beis asayim, it's not so significant, and therefore, since it's a minority, we look at the whole area as mukaf ladira. However, if it's beis asayim, which is a very significant area, it will not become bottle. If it will not become bottle, we look at it as an area on its own, which is not mukaf ladira. And then you've got the rest of this karpef, which is most of the karpef, which is used ladira, that has the halachas of a chotzer. So now you have two areas. One of them is considered chotzer, or karpef mukaf ladira, and the other part is not mukaf ladira. If we would just look at roiv, we would just say the whole thing is mukaf ladira, because it's nizra mi'utai. But you can't say that because the mi'ut part is chashuv. So the part that's planted is not mukaf ladira. So now you have two areas. One of them is a chotzer, has the halachas of chotzer. The other one is the halachas of karpef. And you're not allowed to carry from one to the other. Who is that opinion? This is the opinion of the Rabbonon, not like Reb Shimon. Kaman ka Rabbonon. That's the second way of learning this braisa. And this works across the board. Rav Yirmiyah Medifta Masni Lekula. Rav Yirmiyah Medifta has another version, and then it's even more kuladik. Which means that we just now said that if Nizra mi'utoi, and the Nizra part is exactly a base asayim, the whole area is osa, like the Chachomim. Since it's breached open to each other, it's one enclosure, part of which is called Mukaf Ladira, part of which is not called Mukaf Ladira, it's Osir. Rabbi Yirmiyahu, from the place of Difti, he's going to explain this whole Braisa, saying that, following Rab Shimon, that says that if it's Beis Asayim, it's Mutar. Let's see how he's going to do that. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Medifta Masni Lekula, he reads it and more, even more leniently. Ha Mi'uta Shari. He's starting from the same standpoint as the second version of Rav Huna that we saw before, that the Braisa says Nizra Ruboi Osur. If most of the enclosure is planted, the whole area is Osur. If the minimum is planted, it's Mutar. That's the standing point, starting point. And that's where Rav Huna Brei D'Rishua comes in. But whereas Rav Huna Brei D'Rishua before said that Nizra Ruboi, Nizra Mi'utoi Mutar is going on if it's planted less than Beis Asayim, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Medifta says, no, I say that even if it's planted Beis Asayim, it's also Mutar. Lo Omron Elo Beis Asayim. As long as it's not more than Beis Asayim, it's Mutar. And why is it Mutar? If you have a Beis Asayim, it's a significant area. Then you don't say Bittul. And if you don't say Bittul, you've got part of an area called a Chotzer, part of an area called a Karpuf. And why do they not usher each other? They're totally open to each other. The answer is because he follows Rab Shimon. And don't say that the area that's Beis Asayim has not got the halachas of Rishus Hayochid because it's not Mukaf Ladira. That's not true. Because that's only true if it's more than Beis Asayim. If it's more than Beis Asayim and it's not Mukaf Ladira, then and only then we say that it's completely osa, it's a karmelis, and then Rav Shimon won't help us anything. And then even according to Rav Shimon, you're not allowed to carry from Rosh Hashayochid to a karmelis. But since it's Beis Asayim, not more, it has the halachas of Rosh Hashayochid. But it's the halachas of Rosh Hashayochid, which is not Mukaf Ladira. It's called a karpef, not called a chotzer. And only according to Rav Shimon, you're allowed to carry from one to the other, and therefore it's mutar. Aval yoysam Beis Asayim. But if the area, even if it's the minority of the whole area, but the area that's been planted is more than Beis Asayim, if it's more than Beis Asayim, and you cannot use it for residential purposes, then it's already got the halachas of a karmelis. If it has the halachas of a karmelis, you're not allowed to carry from the karmelis into the chotzer, even according to Reb Shimon, and even in the karmelis itself, you're only allowed to carry up to four amis, not more. And since the chotzer part is totally open to the karmelis part, you can't use the whole thing. And this is Kuman Reb Shimon. Since we say that if it's Beis Asayim, if the minority part which is planted is not more than Beis Asayim, it's completely mutter, even though Beis Asayim is significant enough that we don't say Bittul, it is an area that's got the status of Karpev, Rishus Hayochid, but Karpev, not Chotzer, and it does not asa the Chotzer part, the part that's not been planted, it must be it's following Rab Shimon that says Karpev and Chotzer is called a single Rishus. Continues the Gemara. Nota ruboi harehu kechotzer umutar. We said that the whole discussion that if you plant too much, then the planted part is not mukaf ladira, is only if you're planting vegetables or other plants. If you plant trees, that's called nota ruboi, and there it's muta. Why? Because a person would use it as to sit down under the shade. It's part of the usages, part of the hook of Ladira. Omer Yud Omer Avimi, Vuhusha Suyin at Tablois. This is only true if the trees are planted in very nice rows. If it's planted in nice rows, then having trees there is not a contradiction to Mukaf Ladira. But if it's just haphazardly all over the place planted, then that's not called Mukaf Ladira. Rav Nachman Omer, Rav Nachman argues and says, Afal pish ein asuin its tabloyis, even if they're not planted in straight rows, it's still called Mukaf Ladira. Mar Yehuda, ikla lebei Rav Huna bar Yehuda. Mar Yehuda was visiting Rav Huna bar Yehuda. Chozinu lahanu deloy avdi its tabloyis. He saw that there was a large area that was enclosed, that was more than Beis Asayim. And most of it was planted with trees, and the trees were not planted in straight rows. and he saw that Rav Huna Bar Yehuda became a taltali begavayu, he was carrying them. Omar Lei Mar Yehuda said to Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, Lo Sovar Lomar Lohod Avimi? Do you not hold like Avimi, that Avimi said that if the trees are not planted in straight lines, it's not called Mukaf Ladira, and it's also to carry here? Omar Lei answered him back, Anok Rav Nachman severely, I hold like Rav Nachman, that even if the trees are not planted in straight rows, you're still allowed to carry there, it's called Mukaf Ladira. Continues the Gemara, Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Shmuel, Karpeif Yoisa Mibeiso Saim. If you have a karpeif, a large enclosed area which is larger than 5,000 square amis, Shelloi Hukaf Ladira, and when they first enclosed it, it was not enclosed for residential purposes, in which case everybody agrees it has the status of a karmelis and you're not allowed to carry in there 4 amis. Keitzatu Oisa, what does he have to do now to change the status of this karpeif? How can I make it from Loi Hukaf Ladira to Hukaf Ladira? That the enclosure was done for residential purposes. Well, the enclosure was not done for residential purposes. How can that change? So, of course, if you knock the whole all the walls down and you rebuild the walls, now it's Hukaf Ladira. If you made the walls with the intentions of using it for residential purposes. For example, if it's right near the city, or if you have a house adjacent to it, or if you have a little booth where a person can lie in or sit in, or however else you're going to make it Mukaf Ladira. But a person doesn't want to knock down all the walls. What can he do that it should have the status of Mukaf Ladira? Keita du Oisa, says the Gemara, Poiritz boi pirtza yoisa me'esem. Since we know the halacha is that any breach in a wall which is more than 10 amos is not called a pesach, a doorway, it's called a broken wall, a breached wall. Any piritza which is more than 10 amos is considered as if the wall's not there, and it has the halachas of an unwalled area. So the Gemara says, make a hole of just over 10 amos, break the wall just a little bit more than 10 amos, the goidroi, and then rebuild it up, umamide al eser, and then when you rebuild it, make sure that the remaining gap is not more than 10 amos, and a gap that's not more than 10 amos is considered a pesach, not a breach. Umutar, and then it will be mutar, because then you will have made the walls, you will have created the status of mechitza, of partition, with the intentions of dira, of residential purposes, and then it will be called mukaf ladira. Iboilu, now the Bnei Yeshiva asked the question, it's okay, I understand that if I break down and I make a breach of more than 10 amos, now the wall is counted for none, and then I rebuild it, leaving a gap of not more than 10 amos, then I've made a wall with the intentions of dira, of mukaf ladira. What happens if porat amo, if I break away just 1 amo, and then I fix it, vagodar amo, and I fix it back up, uporat amo, and then the next amo, the amo adjacent to the first amo that's now been rebuilt, I now break away the second amo, vagodra, and then I rebuild that second amo, and then I break away the next amo, the third amo. Achi shlimu le'eser. What happens if I do this, for argument's sake, 11 times? And then, even though at any one point there's only a gap of 1 amma, but if you take all of them together, or let's say it like this, relative to the original enclosure that was not Mukaf Ladira, we now have more than 10 amois that's been rebuilt since. Just at no single time there was an opening of more than an amma. Is that considered that you've rebuilt the wall Mukaf Ladira, or do we say no? Since at any given moment there was never a piritza, the gap was always not more than 10 amis, then you haven't broken down the original wall, and therefore it's not considered you've built a new wall, and it's still considered a ne Mukaf Ladira. That was the question that was posed. Mao, what's the halacha? Omar Lu. So he said to the Bnei Yeshiva, Lav Hainu Ditnan, is this not similar to a similar concept in a Mishnah? Did we not learn in a Mishnah, in Maseches Kelim, Kol Klei Balabatim, Baleabatim, people who don't just throw away things just like that, they had utensils. For a utensil to be able to become Mekabel Tumah, to be susceptible to receive and become Tomei, it has to have the status of a utensil, which means it has to be able to contain something. If there's a hole in it, then it cannot contain anything that's smaller than that hole. It can contain things that are larger than that hole, because the things that are larger than that hole will not fall through it. How large does the hole have to be where at that point these balei batim will throw out the kelim? It's now considered a non-usable kli, and if it was tomei, it becomes tohir, and if it wasn't tomei, it cannot become tomei anymore. Shi'uron kerimoinim, if an average-sized pomegranate could fall through the hole, at that point, there's no fruit that's bigger than a pomegranate, and at that point, if a pomegranate would fall through, the balei batim will throw out the kli. Uboye Chizkiah. On that Mishnah, on that halacha, Chizkiah asked the following question. Nikev kemoitzi zayis. What happens if the hole was just the size of an olive? Vesosmoi, and since it only had a small hole the size of an olive, pomegranates would not fall out of there. It's still called a kli. Vesosmoi, and he blocked up the hole. He repaired the kli. V'chozar v'nikev kemoitzi zayis. And just adjacent to that, there was another hole the size of an olive, still not the size of a pomegranate. V'sosme, and again he closed it up. Ache shlimoi lemoitzi rimoin. If he's got enough of these holes, that had he not fixed them, had all these holes been at one time, and rimoin, a pomegranate, would have been able to fall out, and it would be tohir now. What happens if he never had at any one point a hole that would let a pomegranate fall out of it, but the sum total of all the holes would? Is this called tohir, or is it said a kli? Is it still a kli? Do we say that since at any one point you didn't have a hole, kamoitzi rimoin, it's still called a kli? That was Chizkiah's question. Rabbi Yechanon responded to Chizkiah, and he said, Rabbi, referring to Chizkiah, Shanis Alonu, you taught us another similar halacha, and I'm going to bring proof from there. Sandal Shanifsiko Achas Me Oznov. We know that at least in the olden days, the sandals, what we call a sandal, which is a type of a shoe, used to have some straps, some tongues, or whatever you call them, little pieces of metal on each side, which the straps were tied onto, and it held the foot in. And a typical sandal had one of these osnaim, one of these pieces of leather, on each side of the shoe. So what does it say there? A sandal, this is a Mishnah in Kelim, shenifsa ko achas me'oznof, if one of these two pieces of leather tore away, v'tikno, and he repaired it, tome medras. That means what happened there was, this was a sandal. A sandal, assuming that it's still considered a shoe, then if a zov stands on it, the sandal becomes an av hatuma, which is a very strict tuma. It's called tumas medras. If a zov leans or stands on something that's made to be stood on or leaned on, it becomes tumas medras. If, however, this shoe were to become unusable, or it would lose its status of a shoe, then it would lose its tumas medras. If it loses its status of a kli altogether, which means it can no longer be used for anything, it will not have any tome. So the Mishnah says that if one of these pieces came off, tome medras, since he repaired it, and that means one of them, there was always, at every given point, there was at least one of these pieces of leather, it never lost its status of a shoe, and therefore it's still tumas medras. Nifsikoshni, if now the second one fell off, v'tikna, and you repaired that, at this point, tohir mina medras. The shoe is no longer tomi medras, since the zov stood on it before the first one fell off. And now the first one fell off, and then the second one fell off, even though he repaired the first one before the second one fell off, the tumas medras has gone. It's no longer Thomas Medrus. The Mishnah throws in Avul Tomei Maga Medrus. However, the remains, that means we do still keep the status of Maga Medrus, as if the shoe touched something that was Thomas Medrus, because the shoe itself was Thomas Medrus at some point. And since it never lost its status of Kli altogether, even with both straps missing, it's still called a kli. You can use it for other things, so it's still called that it touched a tumas medras. But since with both of these pieces of metal gone, it's no longer called a shoe, it's called a kli, but not a shoe, therefore it no longer has Tumas Medrus. Va'omrus alo, and we said on this halacha, Maishna Rishoyna, why when the first little piece of leather fell off, do you say it's still called Tumas Medrus? Dehokaima Shnia, because the second one is still there. If the second one is still there, the shoe is still usable. Shnio Nami, so when the second one fell off, Hokaima Rishoyna, by that time the first one had been repaired. And the first one was there. So at no given time, the shoe lost its status of shoe. So why did it lose its status of Tumas Medrus? When it was first Tumas Medrus, it was a shoe. It never lost its status as a shoe. V'omruslon, a new Chizkiyah told us, Allah, on this halacha, ponim chadoshes ba'ur lekan. You're right, it never lost its status of shoe. But relative to the shoe that first became Tumas Medrus, now it's a totally ponim chadosh, it's a new face, because both pieces of metal have been renewed, even though they were done one at a time. It's called ponim chadoshes, and therefore relative to the original Tumas Medrus, it's no longer Tumas Medrus. Rabbi Yochanan said to Chizkiyah, so I can also learn from there to the case of the Kli Balabatim, that if there was a hole of just a zayis, and then another hole of a zayis, another hole of a zayis, and at any point there was only a hole of a zayis, because I always repaired and blocked up the hole before the next hole happened. However, since when it first became Tommy, or the original Kli that became Tommy, relative to that Kli, we now have the area of Moitzi Rimoin, a hole large enough, or an area large enough that it could let a rimoin fall out of it, that's been renewed. That whole area is no of the original kli is no longer there. It's called upon him chadoshes, and therefore the kli will become toyer. In the same way as Chizkiyah taught Rabbi Yochanan, in the case of the shoe, that there's a concept of ponim chadoshes, Rabbi Yochanan compared that to Chizkiyah's question by the Kli Balabatim. And Chizkiyah then said to Rabbi Yochanan, Kori alei, on a person with clarity like yours, less dein bar inish. You're compared to an angel. You're way beyond human capacity. Ikadam, or others say, Kagoin dein, a person like this, Baronosh, is a very special, a very big person, is an Odom Godel. And so what we learned, the maskon of this Gemara, is in the same way as Rabbi Yochanan learned from Chizkiyah, that Kli Balabatim, and the Kli Balabatim with the holes of the Zayis, and the Halacha of the straps of the shoe, then in both those cases we say ponim chadoshes. So too in our case here, if you break an amma of the wall and then you repair it, and then you break another amma and you repair it, and you do that until the sum total of all the parts you broke is more than 10 amois, then relative to the original enclosure that was loy hukaf ladira, we now have an area of more than 10 ammas that was hukaf ladira. It's considered a ponim chadoshes, and therefore the whole area is now considered mukaf ledira. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rav Kahana, Rechova she'achirei habatim. We've mentioned previously in the Masechta that a chotzer is typically a courtyard in front of a home, which is used it's very much part of the house and used for, a person uses it for, as an extension of his house. However, the backyard, called a rechova, typically was not used like a chotzer, and sometimes it did not even have an opening from the home into the rechova. It was just an area at the back of the house. I imagine that you went into the rechova round the side. So if you have a rechova, this rechova, which the home does not have an opening into it, and the enclosure around this rechova was not mukaf ladira. It was never enclosed in order to serve residential purposes. It was just an enclosure, maybe for a bit of storage, but it was not mukaf ladira. And since it's more than a base osayim, it's an area which is not mukaf ladira, which is larger than 5,000 square amis, you're not allowed to carry there in metaltalin boy elo dalad amis. You're not allowed to carry there more than 4 amis. That's the halacha of a karmelis. V'omer of Nachman said, V'im posach loy pesach, However, if there's a door, an opening from the home into this rochava, mutar letaltel bekuloi, you're allowed to carry in the whole area. It's now not got the status of a karmelis, it's got the status of a roshus hayochid. It's considered mukaf ledira. Mutar letaltel bekuloi. Pesach matiroi, the reason is because now that you have that, since there's a door there, then it's an annex to the home, it's mukaf ledira, and it's got the halachas of Rosh Hashayochid. And Rav Nachman added on, v'loy omron, but this is only true, that if there's a door, an entranceway from the house into this rechava, that the whole rechava is considered mukaf ledira, elo sheposach, ulebasoy fukaf. If first there was an entranceway, and then you made an enclosure of the rechava, because in that, then we assume that since you made an enclosure around an area, that the area has direct access to the house, we assume that you enclosed it in order to serve the house, to become an extension of the home. It's mukaf ledira for residential reasons. Says the Gemara. And what do we see from the Abel Hukaf ulebasoif posach? If first that you made an enclosure around this rechava, it was not mukaf ledira. Ulebasoif posach, and only afterwards you broke a door open from the house into the rechava, loy. Then it doesn't help, since the enclosure was made not for mukaf ledira, it was not hukaf ledira. Therefore, just making an opening is not enough. You have to, like we saw before, destroy the whole enclosure or break a wall into it of more than a hole into it of more than 10 amos and rebuild it with the intentions of serving ledira. But if the hekaf was made not ledira, just making a doorway into it will not change the status of the area. Says the Gemara, Rav Nachman, if that's true, what's the chiddush? Posach ulebasoif hukaf. If the halacha that you, Rav Nachman, said that if you first have a doorway and then you enclose the area around the rechava, you're allowed to carry there, pshita. Of course you're allowed to carry there. Since you have a direct access from the home to this area and now you're enclosing it, of course you're enclosing it to serve the home. It's mukaf ledira. So what's the chiddush? Any area that's mukaf ledira is considered a Rosh Hashayochid. What are you being mechadish? Says the Gemara, loy, tzricha, de ispe beidori. That area, that rechava, even though there was a doorway from the home into this area, but this was not just an empty area that was now being dedicated for or to become an annex to the home. No. We're talking about an area that was beidori. It had in it a storage for grains, and since there was a store, it was already being used for storage. So I may have thought that, in spite of the fact that there's a doorway from the house to this area, I would have thought that the hekaf, the enclosure we're doing, is not in order that this area will ultimately serve the home. No, the enclosure is there just to protect the grain that's being stored there. That's not called mukaf ledira. The fact that there's a door there beforehand does not mean that the hekaf, that the enclosure was done with the intentions of then serving the home. So it's not mukaf ledira. That's the chiddush of Rav Nachman, that even though there was a storehouse there for the storage, for the grain, nonetheless, if there's an entrance or an exit from the home to this area, we take it for granted that the enclosure is there in order to, that this area should ultimately serve the home. It's mukaf ledira, and therefore you're allowed to carry in the whole area. Sricha de isbe beidori. I may have thought that you've made the enclosure for the, either you've made the enclosure or that the door was originally made in order to serve the storehouse and not that the area there should serve the home. Komash malon. The chiddush of Nachman was it's considered a Rosh Hashayochid, it's considered mukaf ledira, and you can carry that. Continues the Gemara. Karpeif yoisa mibeisosaim shehukaf ledira. If you have an area which is enclosed area more than a beisosaim, which is mukaf ledira, so it's got the status of a Rosh Hashayochid and you can carry that. V'nismale maim, we already saw before, if you have a karpeif where most of the area is being planted with anything besides for trees, then even though it was originally, it was mukaf ledira, since at some point most of the area now became not not usable for residential purposes, you turned it into a plantation corner or wherever you're planting there, then it loses that status of Rishus HaYochid and you're no longer allowed to carry there. What happens now? Another case, something else happened to this area, not planting, but it became flooded. It got filled with water. So now if this area that was originally, it was larger than a Beis HaSaim, originally it was Mukaf Ladira, but now it's full of water. Can you use it Ladira? Can you use it for residential purposes? Or is it similar to planting in it, where it loses that status? Sovar Rabbonon Lameima, the Chachomim wanted to say, Kezroim, it's Domi, it's got the same halachas as the planting. V'osar, since now, at this point, since it's flooded with water, you can no longer use it for your own normal purposes, and it loses the status of Rishus HaYochid. Midrabbonon. Omalu Rav Acha, Rav Abba said he was Avua, or others say Achva, he was the brother of Rav Bereder of Masharshia. Hacha Amrinon Meshmei Derove, it was said in the name of Rava, that Mayim Kenetoyim Domi, having a water, having a pool of water, is similar to trees. You can use a pool of water for residential uses. Vishari, and therefore it's still mutter to carry in that area. You can draw the water, you can drink the water, you can look at it as if it's still a Rishus HaYochid. Omar Amemer. Amemer explained, V'hu d'chazion n'tashmishta, providing that the water is serving a person. How is it serving him? Rashi says that it's drinking water. If you can drink from this water, then there's no greater service to a person than the fact that he has a source of water to drink from in his garden. Aval loy chazio l'tashmishta. If for whatever reason he cannot use this water, loy, then it loses the status of mukaf ladira. Omer Vashi. Vashi said, u'dechazino l'tashmishta, and even when it is usable, even if the water is drinking water, Nami loy omron elo she'ein bo'imkoi yoyser mebeis sosayim. If there isn't an area of 5,000 square amas that is 10 tfochim deep. However, if avolim yesh boi bo'imkoi, if the area that's 10 tfochim deep of water is yoyser mebeis sosayim, is covering more than 5,000 square amas, osur, in that case it's osur. That's what Vashi said. Because it's a whole area which is, Rashi says it's an area which is no longer considered part of the garden, part of this chotzer, this karpif. Because it's so deep, 10 tfochim deep is like an area in its own right, and it's osa. Rashi brings a Gemara in Shabbos that we learned that if you have a pool which is 10 tfochim deep, then it's no longer considered as being part of the rest of the area. V'lav milsehi, and the Gemara says that this halacha of Rav Ashi, that's not the halacha. Midi dehava akario depera. In the case of kario depera, which the Gemara is comparing to the water, that even if it's 10 tfochim high, and covering a span of more than 5,000 square amos, nonetheless, it's still called part of the karpef, which is mukaf ladira. It's still serving the owner, and you're allowed to carry there. And so to the water, even though the part that's 10 tfochim deep is covering an area of more than 5,000 square amos, since it's serving the owners, it's still called mukaf ladira, and you can carry there. What is this karya de pera? So Rashi's got two explanations. Either karya is a lashon of a pile, which means that in the same way as 10 tfochim deep, full of water, the same as would apply to 10 tfochim high, covering a span of 5,000 square amis, or more than 5,000 square amis, which is a pile of fruits. And in the same way as a pile of fruits like that does not destroy the status of the area which is within which it's surrounded, so too the water. And the second explanation of karya, it carries a lotion of digging, a lotion of chafira. If you have a ditch of 10 tfochim deep over an area of more than 5,000 square amis, but it's not filled with water, it's filled with fruits or produce, then it does not destroy the status of mukaf ladira, and therefore so too the water, even if it's that large, the area that's 10 tfochim deep does not destroy the status of mukaf ladira, and you can act in it and with it as if it's a Rishus HaYochid. Continues the Gemara. And now we have an interesting scenario. Hahu Rechava. We have a Rechava, which is an empty area. The Rechava itself is larger than 5,000 square amis. It's more than Beis Hasayim, and it was not Mukaf Ladira, which means that in and of its own, you're not allowed to carry in this area. It has the halacha of a Karmelis. Dahavoi Bepum Nahara. This Rechava was in a place called Pum Nahara. Now, from this Rechava, you had two openings, one opposite the other. The Chad Gisa. On one side of it, Hava Pasiach, it was open, Lamasa. Masa, the literal translation, means a town, but what it really means is that there was a town. At the edge of the town, or at some point in the town, there was an alleyway, a Mavoi, and the alleyway, which was one end of it, was open to Roshus Harabim in the town, in the city, and the other end of this Mavoi was in this Rechava. It was opened up into this Rechava. It was Pasiach, this Rechava was open, Lamosa, to a Mavoi, which was part of the city, and the other side of the Mavoi is Roshus Harabim. The Chad Gisa, and on the other side of the Rechava, Hava Patiach, it was open, Lishvil Shel Kromim, to a passageway, and that passageway, Rashi says, had in it Batim and Chatzeres, there were people who were using that Shvil. It was called the Shvil Shel Kromim, it was between the vines, and Ushvil Shel Kromim, what was on the other side of this passageway that was coming out of this Rechava, the other side was Havasolik Leguda Denara. It reached the banks of a river, and the river banks themselves were typically 10 tfachim high, not above the ground, but the depths of the water, the depth of the river bank. And that was the end of the other passage coming out of the Rechava. So you've got now a river bank with 10 tfachim. Beyond that, you've got a shvil going through the kromim, through the vineyards. From there, you've got the Rechava. Beyond the Rechava, on the other side, you've got a Mavui opening up into Roshus Harabim. Now, at this point, you're not allowed to carry in the Rechava because it's larger than Beis Hasayim and it's not Mukaf Ladira. It's a Karmelis. Since it's a Karmelis, you cannot carry not in the Mavui, because the Mavui is open at one end to the Roshus Harabim of the city and the other end to the Karmelis, to this Rechava. So, taken as is, you cannot carry in the Mavui, and in the Shvil, you also cannot carry, even though the Shvil is considered as if it's got walls, it's encircled in three sides. One, the two sides, and the end, which is the riverbank, is also considered an enclosure. But its opening, the final opening, it's open to a Rechava, which you're not allowed to carry in. So you cannot carry in that Shvil either. So at this point in time, you cannot carry anywhere. Not in the Rechava, not in the Mavui, not in the Shvil. The question is, what can we do in order to be able to carry in the Rechava and possibly in some of the other areas too? Omar Abaya, Heicha Navid. What can we do to allow us to carry in this Rechava? So of course, if you broke down the walls of the Rechava and rebuilt them, it would be Mukaf Ladira. You'd be allowed to carry there if you rebuilt it with the intentions of using it for residential purposes. If you made a hole of more than 10 amos and rebuilt it and left a gap of not more than 10 amos, that would also be okay, like we saw in Amud Aleph. But Rashi says that this Rechava was probably built with stone, and it was very difficult to demolish the walls and rebuild the walls. So what can you do? Says the Gemara, Le'avid lei mechitza aguda denara. I have a good idea. Let's make a wall. You don't want to make it of stone, make it just of reeds. But where are you going to make this? You're going to make this wall on the riverbank. If you make it on the riverbank, and now we're going to look at it, and it's very not clear, and we're showing them exactly how this works. But we're now going to, so to speak, look at the Rechava and the Shvil, the pathway going between the Rechava and the river. We're going to look at it as if it's one entity. We're going to build a wall where the riverbank is, and it will be as if you're building that wall with the intentions of enclosing the area, Ladira. And then the whole area, including the rechava, will be considered mukaf ladira. And Tosfos explains that it must be that the opening of this shvil was more than 10 amos, which means the opening between the rechava and the shvil was probably less than 10 amos, because otherwise the Gemara would have said, just put up a wall there. So that wouldn't help, because it's not more than 10 amos. But it seems that the shvil got wider as it moved towards the riverbank. When it got to the riverbank, it was more than 10 amos wide. Let's close up that area and consider it as if I've closed a breach of more than 10 amos, even for the rechava. And then it's called mukaf ladira. Says the Gemara, that's not a good idea. That won't work. Ein oisin mechitza al gabim mechitza. What have you added? There was a riverbank there before. And if the 10 tefachim high riverbank was not enough, or was not considered mukaf ladira, the riverbank was there and was not mukaf at all, it's got the status of a mechitza. But since there was already a mechitza there, just adding another 10 tefachim on top of it is not going to help you anything. Putting a wall on top of an existing mechitza doesn't do anything. In the same way as we understand, if you have a rechava that was not mukaf ladira, you can't just make an extra 10 tefachim extension on top of the wall ladira. That won't help. Here that you have the riverbank, adding a wall on top of it will not serve us at all. So what else could we do? V'le'evid le'tzuras ha-pesach apuma de'shvil shel kromim. This shvil, instead of making a wall at the end of this shvil on the riverbank, let's make it tzuras ha-pesach where the shvil shel kromim meets the rechava. And let's think for a minute, the shvil itself. You've got the riverbank on one side, you've got the rechava on the other side. The rechava you're not allowed to carry in, so you're not allowed to carry in the shvil either. If you make a tzuras ha-pesach between the rechava and the shvil, that will allow you to carry in the shvil. No different to any movui where you've got reshus harabim at the end of the movui. If you make a tzuras ha-pesach, you're allowed to carry in the movui. Here too, make a tzuras ha-pesach, and that will be enough of a breakaway between the shvil and the rechava. And now this tzuras ha-pesach will, so to speak, be considered as making a wall for the shvil, separating the shvil from the tzuras, from the rechava, and you can carry in the shvil. Don't forget, to the other side of the shvil, you've got a riverbank, which is also considered a closure. And then how will this work? In the same way, it's called migu. In the same way that this tzuras ha-pesach is going to work halachically to be considered as making a mechitza for the shvil, now that this tzuras ha-pesach is making a mechitza for the shvil to the extent that it allows you now to carry in the shvil, we can therefore consider the tzuras ha-pesach as also be considered as creating a wall for the rechava. If we wouldn't have this migu, just putting up a tzuras ha-pesach, it wouldn't help, because the opening was not more than 10 amos wide. And we said before that if the opening is not more than 10 amos, then closing it will not give it the status of mukaf ladira. But since we're doing a type of closure that's acting as creating a new wall for the shvil, we can then use that same scenario to be considered as creating a wall for the rechava, and it's called mukaf ladira. The problem with that is osu gamli shadyon li. Since the camels are coming through from the reshus harabim, through the movui, through the rechava, and then through the shvil shel kromim to go and drink the water at the end of in the river, then since the camels, which were very wide, are going to come through this area, if you put a tzuras ha-pesach there, the camels are very easily going to just tear it down. And because they're so wide, and they're going to rub against the tzuras ha-pesach and knock them down. And a type of tzuras ha-pesach that is potentially going to get knocked down, even when it's up, is not considered a tzuras ha-pesach. And therefore it doesn't help you, it won't help you not to carry in the shvil shel kromim and not to carry in the rechava. So what option have we got left, says Abaya? Elo Abaya, instead of making a tzuras ha-pesach, which even though there's no minimum amount of width for Tzuras HaPesach, but there are certain conditions. The Tzuras HaPesach, for number one, it has to be on both sides of the entrance. Number two, it needs to be strong enough, wide enough that you could hang a light door on it, as we saw earlier on. It's got certain conditions. However, a lechi, which is just a very thin post, which doesn't need to have any width, and it's just on one side, 10 tvachim off the ground, just put a lechi there. Levid lechi apischa de shvil shel kromim. This shvil shel kromim, that on one side of it, you've got the river. So let's call that an enclosure. And then the third entrance is a lechi. In the same way as a lechi is now going to allow you to carry in this shvil shel kromim, then the same way as it helps for the shvil shel kromim, the lechi should be considered as if you're making a new mechitza for the rechava, in the same migu as we said before, and then it will be considered mukaf ledira. The migu de mahanya leshvil shel kromim, just in the same way that this lechi allows you, it's as if you created a wall for the shvil, and to allow you to carry in the shvil, mahani nami lerechava, it also helps us for the rechava, as if you built a wall for the rechava, and you built this wall with the intentions of dira, that the rechava should be now used for residential purposes, and then you can carry in the rechava, Omale Rava says, you're right, it's a good idea, it should work. However, we have a problem. This shvil, what's at the end of it? Nothing. The river. Now, it's true that we know that there's a river bank, and the river bank, which is under the ground, so to speak, is 10 tvachim high, so it's as if it's closed. So you have the river bank at one side, and the lechi on the other side. But Rava says we have a problem. Since this opening is opening to the sea, people don't see that wall at the end. People might think that any passageway, any movoy, which is totally open, it's mafulosh, and it's just straight through, it's not enclosed at the third end, that on the fourth entrance, the fourth wall, a lechi is sufficient. And we know that with a movoy mafulosh, lechi is not sufficient. We learned about that earlier in the Masechta. Yoimru lechi moil, l'shvil shel kromim d'alma. People will say that any shvil shel kromim, any shvil, don't forget, it's got diurin, it's got batim and chatzeris, Rashi said, this shvil. So this shvil is similar to any other movoy, and people will think that any movoy mafulosh, just having a lechi is enough. And therefore, we will not allow you to resort to a lechi, even though, technically speaking, it will be enough, because you do have, so to speak, a virtual type of closure called the riverbanks, but since you don't see them, people will get confused, we will not let you use a lechi. Elo Omar Rava, Rava's got another idea. Rava says, you can't do anything on the shvil itself. Not at the edge, there's no point doing anything at the end of the shvil, where the shvil reaches the riverbank, because whatever you do there is just an extension of the riverbank. What you're going to do at the entranceway between the rechava and the shvil is not good enough, because people will get confused thinking you can do that with any movoy mafulosh. So that's not going to be the solution for the rechava. What's going to be the solution? We have to do something with the movoy, the other side of the rechava. Of dino lechi lepischa de mosa. You're going to put a tzuras ha-pesach where the movoy reaches and the rishus harabim, because that movoy is mefulosh. On one side it's open to rishus harabim, on the other side to the rechava. What do? You put tzuras ha-pesach on the side of the rechava with the rishus harabim, and then the wall between the rechava and this movoy, you'll put a lechi there. In the same way as this lechi is considered as creating a partition, virtually speaking, to help you, to allow you to carry in the movui, mahani nami lerechava, it would also help us to be called that you're creating a wall for the rechava, and this wall you're creating mukaf ledira, and therefore from this point on the rechava is considered mukaf ledira. And at that point you can carry in the movui on its own right, and in the chotz on its own right, and the Gemara doesn't speak about can you carry in the shvil. Is the whole reason you can't carry in the shvil because it's open to a rechava that you couldn't carry in, now you can carry in it, you can carry in the shvil, or can you not carry in the shvil? That's a discussion in the Rishonim. We're not going there. The Gemara doesn't discuss that here. Hilchoch says the Gemara till tula b'mosa gufa shori. From this point on, you can carry in the mavui. Till tula b'rachava gufa shori, you can carry in the rachava because it's now considered mukaf ledira. The question is, mimosa l'rachava or mirachava l'mosa? Can I carry from the mavui into the rachava and from the rachava into the mavui, even though I didn't make an eruv? I didn't make eruv echatzeres, shitufei mavois, however you're going to make it work, you didn't make an eruv. The people using the rachava and the people using the mavui did not combine to become one. That's a machleikus pligibo Rav Acha v'Ravina. Chad Omar, Chad Osar, Rav Acha. This Gemara says in Psochim Daf Ein Dalet that whenever you have this machleikus of Acha and Ravina, the machmir is always Rav Acha, besides for cases mentioned in the Gemara there. So Chad Osar, Rav Acha says, you're not allowed to carry from the Rechova into the Mavoi, or vice versa. The Chad Omar and Ravina says, you are allowed to carry between them. Mandashari, Ravina, who says that you're allowed to carry from the Mavoi into the Rechova and from the Rechova into the Mavoi, he says, because the Rechova itself doesn't have any people living there, nobody's using it. And since the Rechova itself doesn't have people that are, doesn't have residents, then the residents of the Rechova is actually the people of the Mavoi. It's the same people who are using the Mavoi, using the Rechova, and therefore you can carry from one to the other. And then Rashi explains why the people using the shvil, if they cause an issue or not. But either way, you can carry from the Rechava to the Mavi. Uman de Osar, and Rav Acha, who says you cannot carry from the Rechava into the Mavi, he says that in this situation, there's no reason you shouldn't be able to carry from the Rechava to the Mavi and vice versa, because there are no residents of the Rechava that are not the people of the Mavi. However, Zimnin, what might happen is, in the future you may open up some entrances from homes outside the Rechava, on the other side of the wall of the Rechava, into the Rechava, and at that point the Rechava will have its own residents, and then the residents of the Rechava will not be those of the Mavoi, and they will asser on each other, and that you will not be able to carry from the Rechava into the Mavoi or from the Mavoi into the Chatzah. V'osi l'til tulei, and if you allow us to carry from between the Mavoi and the Rechava when there are no residents there, then you may end up continuing to carry between the two even after the homes get opened into the Rechava and they now do have their own residents, and therefore Ravina said that we don't want you to carry from the Rechava at all to the Mavoi or vice versa. There's no one to make an Eruv with, because we're talking about, as the Gemara said, a Rechava that doesn't have any residents there. So Ravina says you cannot carry from a Rechava to the Mavoi or vice versa, in fear that at some point in time the Rechava will have its own diur and its own residence, and then there will be an issue carrying between each other and people will not be aware of it, and therefore he said it was osa. And in Mirtz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.